Josh, earlier on Behind the Curtain, we discussed the whole vegan and that thing and how much we all find pleasure in food. And let's just say you had a week this past week, something that we've dreaded for a long time, the passing of your beloved Pumpernickel.
Right.
And the reason I tie it in with the vegan talk is that I would have thought, knowing your love of food, of a good pastrami, of a coffee cake, of a Danish, have you found yourself turning to any type of food or comfort in this time? Because it sounded like you hadn't.
I've been caring less about what I eat in the past week. I've eaten, you know what I ate on Thursday? I had a giant bag of Fritos. The corn chips, which I don't think I've had since I was a child.
It's been too long.
It was very comforting. And my sister came to visit and brought three giant Danishes. So I had those in less than 24 hours.
Three?
Yeah. I'll probably be gaining some weight over the next few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been dealing with it, feeling your pain symbiotic this week. Mike, do you have your phone with you by any chance?
I do.
Would you care to crack that open and read the text that I sent you yesterday? It was Thursday. We were only a couple of days removed, and I was sort of still feeling everything that we went through. Why don't you go ahead and read that text I sent you yesterday from while we were here. Yes. So I stand in solidarity with you in the eating.
Right. Thursday, 12:46 p.m. I just ate the entire bag of crispy taco chips and threw up in a trash can.
Oh, God.
I've never been lower.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
If you'll notice in the cubbies back in our what we call the pit, which is sort of our office, we have little overhead bins that we throw some food, snacks, headphones, weird candy dishes filled with medicines. And I found in a moment of weakness the bag of crispy taco chips.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling a little low on Thursday. Mm. The week kind of kicked my ass. I can't stop thinking about you and Pumpernickel. And I crack open the bag of crispy taco chips.
Yeah.
And I black out. 12 minutes later, there's nothing but powder at the bottom of this bag. And I have what I call a puke burp. Where I go to burp, but there's definitely something else there. And I kind of stand up like, oof, that doesn't end. A moment later, it's just into the trash can. Just an entire bag of chips comes back out.
Disgusting.
My body rejected an entire bag of crispy taco Lays because that's what I was going through because of what you were going through.
Have you thought about drinking at all?
Ooh.
It's crossed my mind, but I don't.
Because that's exactly what I did as soon as I got that text Monday from you. I was sitting in my car outside the gym, and I immediately put it into gear and drove about 40 yards to the liquor store.
Oh, my God. Next Why?
And bought a pint of whiskey.
Why? Did you drink the whole thing?
Most of it, yes.
Oh, my God.
You know, what's funny is that I got that text, and after I got up off of my living room floor and had a deep, snot-bubbling sob, I walked over to my liquor cabinet and grabbed a room-temperature bottle of Tito's and took a long suck off of it. I mean, one of those, not a shot's worth, but like one of those big mouthfuls that's about 2.5 shots worth, where you're like, this is about to feel like I'm swallowing snake venom. It burns so bad, but I need to dull the pain right now. So I also got equally as drunk, equally as filled with regretful amounts of food, and I hope you find a kinship with us in that.
Yeah, I mean, there's still time to start drinking, but didn't do it this past week.
I'd do anything to take you drinking, to take you drinking and to get you to and from safely. Would you consider just one, not a hangover quality drink, but one where you either get a little loosey-goosey and start doing finger guns in the bar and, hey, want to see which hand I've got the hidden card in type bar tricks, or maybe just nothing but raw emotion comes flying out of you kind of drinking session. Would you entertain that idea?
Maybe after I get another animal.
Fantastic. Hear about it now. It was a moment that some of us were prepared for, none of us wanted, and we all dealt with together on Behind the Curtain. Hey, cross that window. I don't need onlookers in here right now. I don't need anybody to be treating us like this human aquarium that we are. Show's yours, brother.
Well, I had my dog Pumpernickel for 12 years, and she passed away last night, and she's been sick for a while, and you know, she's been really part of the show
for 12 years. She's been part of the station for 12 years, and I wanted to share it with all the listeners, because the first thing that people say to me at events, the first question, it never fails, is, how's Pumpernickel? I think I've mentioned when I went to, I once went to BWI, and the TSA agent said, how's Pumpernickel? Didn't ask anything about me.
Yeah,
just, right.
Yeah, how's the dog?
Yeah, how's the dog?
How's Pumpernickel?
To hell with Josh. but I got over that. And look, she's been sick for a few years. She had kidney failure, and it causes blood pressure, high blood pressure. So she was on this medicine. But, you know, we were managing it with special food. But things really started deteriorating when she got picky with that special food. So because they can't eat stuff with high protein, because the kidneys, the whole thing is the kidneys can't flush out the toxins or whatever. I'm not a doctor. And so she gets picky with the food, the canned food, and they've got three different versions, maybe more. So we go back and forth to different versions, and she's just getting pickier and pickier. And over the past year, she has really, she would stop eating some days, wouldn't, and she can't eat people food, because that caused, she had pancreatitis, you know, so anything greasy would cause a flare up. She'd be in pain. And, but this, what a great dog. And she would just the past few months, I finally decided to try to figure out once and for all what was wrong. So took her to a specialist, and they did an endoscopy, and they determined that she had inflammatory bowel disease. So, okay, started June, July, I don't even remember, started treating her for that medicine, a steroid, perfect, she's eating. That lasted a month, then she gets picky again, and it just goes downhill from there. She's not eating stuff, and you know, you take her in for IV fluid, and when she gets the IV fluid, she does better. She gets her strength back, but as soon as you stop the IV fluid, the kidneys start to fail again. And they just said, you know, we could do an operation. And this was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. We could do an operation. We'll go in. We'll figure out what's what's definitely wrong. And they said on the day that they were going to do that, you know, if we do this, there's a chance she'll just go downhill. It'll make things even worse. I said, forget it. Just don't do the – I don't even want to put her through the suffering, any more suffering. I'm going to bring her home, and we'll try to treat it. And – brought her home, and
well, you were out all last week.
Yeah, I was out last week, and because this was after, this was, you know, a few days after the I decided not to do the surgery, and the doctor said, look, this is not going to get better. This is terminal, and you can let her suffer, or you can put her to sleep. And I mean, that, you know, just the thought of that is horrifying, I think, to anybody with a dog. And I took her home, and the doctor, he said, just feed her anything. She just needs calories. So I was feeding her human food every day, you know, chicken, meatballs,
whatever you want.
Yeah. And she started losing interest, eating less and less, and she looked just miserable. About a week ago, stopped going for walks. I mean, a dog lives to go for a walk. If a dog stops walking, there's something definitely wrong. She stopped going for walks. Wouldn't go. She loved going for car rides. Stopped going for car rides. But she still had the personality. This is what made it so difficult. She still had that. Those big brown eyes.
Excited to see you.
The wagging tail. The lab is always happy. And that was torturing me. How can I put this dog to sleep when I know her body is failing. I know she might be suffering, but that she's still there. She's still there. She's alert.
Well, and I don't want to get too, you know, if I'm going too far, asking too much, I don't want to pry too much. But so, I mean, can you walk us through, like, so how did, what was?
So, I mean, the last week, the doctor had said this was going to get very bad. You know, she would not only stop eating, there'd be vomiting, there'd be seizures. So I... It didn't get to the point with vomiting and seizures. She was getting, she was picky with her food. And, you know, I was under the impression that the last week she would die. And it didn't happen. And I'm just torturing myself, thinking, I'm completely in limbo. I don't know what to do.
Right.
And I talked to so many different people. I spoke to my sisters. I spoke to my rabbi. I spoke to, just everybody. I was trying to find people with dogs who had gone through this. I was searching for an answer, and there is no answer.
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, my dog's not getting any younger, and he's having health problems too. Yeah. And I thought about you and what you're going through, and I'm like, how do you – there's no handbook. There's no – and I'm thinking about, like, when my time comes, I'm not going to know what the hell to do or how to do it or what decision to make.
Yeah,
or,
how long
so do you, I'm happy that you, you know, reached out to people because – how you don't, no one prepares you for these things.
No.
So, yesterday I finally saw that, there was, she was lying on the floor in the corner for several hours, just, and then, and I said, maybe this is the day. Like every day I said, maybe this is the day, but then she'd do something. She'd get up and walk.
A little spark of life.
Yeah. Or she'd eat. So I said, well, how can, and she'd be alert. So, and I say, how can I can't do anything. I can't put her to sleep when she's still, I'm negotiating with myself.
Right.
And at the same time, it's killing me seeing her in this condition. And, you know, the rabbi, he said to me, we have an obligation to put them out of their pain. And he said, you have to ask yourself, are you keeping her alive for your sake or for their sake? And I took notes on everything that everybody told me so I could review and try to, so it would help me. And I wrote so much, you know, down during my own time to get my thoughts on paper. But anyway, she wasn't getting better. And yesterday I finally said at about noon to myself that, you know, she's not getting up. This is the signal. This is the sign that I should do it. And I, you know, felt physically sick. And then, she, of course, she gets up. She starts eating a little bit.
Yeah.
Walking around. And I still didn't know. I called the doctor, and I said, "Can you come out today?" She said, "Yeah, you can come out and be there an hour." So, spend time with her. I mean, all of last week. Let me say, I was saying goodbye to her all of last week. You know, and spent an hour with her, and just. Petting her and waiting with her for the doctor to arrive for the event to happen in my house. Doctor arrives with the nurse, and I look out the front door and I see them getting out of the car holding a box. And I just, that's it. I completely lose it because it's so obvious what's about to happen. And they come in and I just don't want it to happen. Am I making the right move, the right decision? And they come in, and I had put one of her beds in the sunroom, opened the windows, not the window, the shades, and it's, you know, without going into the detail, it's a very, the hardest thing I'm dealing with is the last few seconds. And
what does that mean?
I because, you know, they do an injection, mm-hmm. and it's one injection, and the first 30 seconds is they make them sleep. They put them under. They're mm-hmm. not dead. And then the last 30 seconds is the drug. It's the right. overdose.
And that slows the heart.
Yeah, it just shuts everything down. And were you
holding her?
I was on the floor. I was petting her, and she's looking at me, and she wagging her tail a little bit. And, they just feel so guilty. I mean, people say you did the right thing. You did a kindness. You helped her, but it's just the guilt. Did I do it too soon?
You know you did it.
Or did I didn't want to do it at all. It's like, you know, people, I watched my mother, I feel bad about getting morbid. I watched my mother die in 2005, but I didn't have to pull a plug, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a situation where, I mean, she trusts me. Her life is in my hands. And she's been by my side, my best friend since 2006. And she's looking at me and she doesn't know what's about to happen. And just the point that got to me was when they started the injection and it's such a powerful anesthetic that they go to sleep right away. And she just kind of laid like, and they don't close their eyes.
She just leaned into you?
Actually leaned into the vet, and just seeing her eyes, like life going out of her. And I said, I can't watch the rest. Does she still know I'm here? And the vet said, no, she doesn't. She's asleep now. She doesn't know. So I said, I can't watch the rest of this. I wanted to be there, but I don't feel guilty for not watching the last 30 seconds because she didn't know I was there. But I knew it just really messed with me. If we go to commercial here, one other thing to wrap up the story is, this vet who is such a great person. She helped me bury, her. And,
and that's the thing. I didn't want to keep prying, but I do have a lot of questions, you know, and thank you for sharing all this. And look, I don't want you to ever feel guilty. You did what you had to do.
You know, she said, I didn't want her. I felt like the vet had done so much coming out with the nurse, and,
I'm sorry. You know, I love you, right? That you did. I got to read it what Scott said. We saw you do stuff off air here on the phone a lot. You took such good care of her. I mean, you took better care of her. I see some people take care of their own, like family members. I mean, you did. There's enough. And then there's what you did.
Yeah,
which is beyond. So
you gave her an amazing life, dude.
You gave her the best life.
So the vet helped you, like you said. She went above and beyond.
So she goes. It was almost like
I was thinking the same thing. Like what? Okay, so then it's like you did what you had to do, right? Yeah. You say your goodbyes, and then what? Like I don't even what happened.
I said to her. Well, I had it was ready in the back. I had it ready.
In the backyard.
The grave, yeah.
Okay.
But after what I had just seen, I said to her, you know what? I don't even know if I can't handle her right now, the dog. I don't want to see her right now. Maybe you could take her and I'll pick her up later. So she said, well, I don't know if you want to pick her up after, you know, she'll be in a different condition.
Right.
So I said, okay, I'll just do it myself. I'll bury her here. So she said, are you sure I can stay here? And I don't want to impose, and I said to her, no, you know, go home to your family. I you don't have to do it. I can do it myself. And she said, now, are you saying that because you really mean that, or you don't want
to put her out?
Right, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And she said, if I didn't mean it, I wouldn't offer.
Yeah.
In that moment, you're still thinking of others in that moment. So it speaks to your character.
We went out in the backyard. By the way, on Sunday, I went to Home Depot, walked out with a tarp and a shovel.
Oh, God.
I was praying nobody from no listener would recognize
kind of alarm
me.
Or something.
Yeah.
Thank God you didn't have any, like, clown makeup on or anything.
I never thought I'd say that
sentence.
She helped. We went out and...
did she charge extra?
She didn't charge me anything. Okay. She didn't charge me anything. Because I said to her, you know, what are you going to bill me? And she said, for all that you did for this dog, this is the least I could do for you. And, you know, I appreciate that. I'm more than willing to pay. And, but she was shoveling. She obviously shoveled more than me because I'm a total wuss and I'm not strong, but I was shoveling. I want to make that clear. I did do some shoveling. So I kept trying to get her to go home because I didn't want to put her out. And
well, you also probably needed to continue to...
You kind of wanted to be in that moment on your own and just process the feelings in solitude.
And just the thing that she said, which got me, was I said, you know, go home, I can take care of it. And she said, nobody should have to bury their friend alone. And I was oh my God. And that was it, you know. That was it, and it's terrible, and it's I'm not crying now because I've been crying. I mean, I cried last night, I cried last week, and you know, when I'm at work, I'm in work mode, and
distracted.
I'm more on guard, like I'm not as loose, it hurts, but a lot of people go through it, and I want to first of all thank everybody here, you guys, and management and all the listeners. I couldn't believe how many people just were so nice and supportive, because that does make a difference. It helps, and hopefully things will be good.
A lot of love out there for you and Pumpernickel.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
a lot of sweet offers to people offering rescues or puppies.
There's going to be 700 dogs outside of the building by 10 o'clock.
It's going to be a mob of puppies downstairs.
And I'll take them all.
Your hearts are in the right place, but let's go ahead and just process what we're in right now. Again, very, very sweet, the offers that we've gotten, but let's let Josh just sit and move through this, and then you on your own good time. Can I ask, is an inappropriate question to ask?
No.
Do you think, once... everything is sort of settled in your world, because I know you're still in the midst of it. Do you?
Oh, yeah.
You go ahead and grab another friend?
I'd say two or three.
Two or three.
Come on, let's do it.
Do a cat this time also.
I can hardly take care of myself. I don't know if I could take care of two or three dogs.
A petting zoo.
But, yeah, I would love to. It's just, I think I should wait a little while.
All in due time, yes. Process. For those of you just joining us, Spiegel, unfortunately... Pumpernickel, his beloved, is was sick for a long time.
Yeah.
And listen, you gave that dog the best life that dog could have possibly had. You're an amazing dog owner. The amount of love that flowed through you was tangible every time the two of you were together. And she got old and she got sick, and unfortunately is no longer with us.
Yeah.
Look...
You did everything.
Just the thing that sticks with me was that, you know, there is, it seems like there's a little, I don't know, maybe a little bit of guilt lingering there, which I think is normal, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, don't let that linger for too long, because you have to realize, like you said, like what your rabbi said, are you keeping her around for you or are you keeping around for her? And I think we all agree, and you know, and everybody out there knows that you did what you had to do.
You know what they ought to do is... focus on breeding a dog that lives to like 50. It's got to be possible, right?
Get some of those gigantic turtle genes, like how those turtles live to be like 400 years old. Okay, so my Labrador has a shell. The thing's going to live to be 200 years old.
That's the thing. You'll find there's some sea creature that's lived, that literally will live until it's 800.
Like a jellyfish. But they're awful.
And an animal like a cat or a dog that brings so much joy to people only lives... for such a short amount of time. Maybe,
12 to 20 years.
Maybe it's by design.
Maybe you should get a jellyfish next time.
Yeah. To teach us, you know what I mean? To
appreciate what we have while we have it, and that the beautiful things don't last, and things that are total garbage. Again, I'm all for jellyfishes going extinct. and to be 1,000.
I don't want to jump the gun here, but somebody that I know that maybe you know and that we know, they had a litter.
A litter.
I'm not
what?
Kidding. And they're
of children.
They're labs.
Oh. Labs.
This I'm, listen, we'll talk off air, but this might be divine intervention here. I know you said maybe a puppy might be a lot of work for you. You might want a rescue dog that's a little bit older, but we'll talk. I just, because I've been seeing this on Facebook for like a few weeks now, and I never put two and two together. And as we're sitting here, it literally just popped up on my computer screen, and I went, that might be a sign right there.
Oh. I think it's only right after everything you've put him through. Mike, you should give Josh your dog.
Yeah, I want your dog.
Mike,
I want Moose.
You get to have Moose.
You want to maybe spend the week over
there? No, I want the entire full custody.
I think tomorrow we do the transfer of ownership, and that's it. I hope this is the evil side of me. I'm really hoping that someone back there right now, back in the catacombs, the offices, hope you're feeling real guilty about the whole no pets at work.
they let me bring her. I actually broke the rule many times.
I hope they're really chewing on that right now, going, we should have let her come.
Well, anything else you want to say? I mean, take a call or something? I don't know where to go from
I'm
here.
Fine.
How are you? I mean, really, you say you're fine, and I think if anybody that knows you, we spend more time. The only person that did spend more time around you, the only life would have been Pumpernickel, but we can tell when you're putting on a brave face. The fact that you're here today is unbelievable.
I will say, having worked with him for a long time, I do feel a weird sense, not a weird sense, but I feel that there is a calmness to you that you're not putting on.
It's incredible.
You're not putting on, you're not putting on a brave face. You are, but I also feel like you said last week you were off all week. You spent the time and it'll continue. It's not over yet, but I feel like you're processing.
Yeah. I thought about it for a while but when it happens, it's still such a shock.
Mm-hmm.
I came to work because I thought, what's the use of just staying in an empty house?
Because you took off last week just because it could have happened at any moment.
Right.
So when you saw her make it through that week and the weekend, you said, let's show up for work this week. When I got the text last night from you, and thank you, that was extremely gracious of you just to let us all know, because we were wondering last week how things were. I didn't want to bother you too much, but I still wanted to check in. Trust me, I had a Google alert set up for any social media of yours to pop off, because you're pretty active.
I reached out first.
He reached out. I reached out right after. All right.
It's always a competition.
This is going to come up at Christmas. But when you had the kindness to let us know that it had happened, I was
a mess last night. Ask Chiquita.
Sorry.
No, it's fine, but I immediately just, I lost it.
Oh, I went downstairs.
You want to see a photo?
Oh, you took a picture of yourself.
And I did as well.
I sent it to these guys. Okay. I was like, I'm a mess.
Oh, my God.
Let's go ahead and
you don't have to show me.
Yeah, I'm going
to
show you anyways. Here's the photo. This is last night. That's
weeping.
Oh, my God.
And here's mine.
You look like you were bitten by a bee or something.
Oh, God, it was
swollen.
Tough. We love you, buddy, and how much you meant.
Look at my picture.
Oh, wow.
You know, we just look out for your well-being. We want to make sure you're okay. Like you said, I know, look, that house, you're not out of the woods yet. It's going to take a while, and if you're in that house and, you're bummed out or you're lonely or something.
We're coming to stay with you.
Yeah, call us, dude. I don't care. I'll come over, hang out. We'll go get lunch, go to a movie, or just go for a walk, do something. But just don't sit there and,
look at me,
stew in it. You got to...
Would you like to walk me?
Yes.
I will let you. I swear to God,
yes.
I'll get on all fours, and you can walk me wherever you want to.
I will. I would like to do that.
You still not a big fan of the hug? I gave you one yesterday that was...
Yeah, I don't mind hugs. I should probably hug more because my lack of human contact is not healthy. What is that? Oh, those are the labs you were talking about. That's very cute.
They're beautiful.
Very cute. Gorgeous? I'll take all of them. All 20 of them.
What did your sisters say when you talked to them?
You know, they've been very supportive. I talked to my sisters in the past week and a half or so.
Which sister do you call first?
Me.
It wasn't really a matter of first. I was pretty much talking to them equally. But I spoke to them more last week than I've probably talked to them in the last 3 years.
Look, and it's this is going to sound maybe a little ridiculous, but it's, who knows? It's something like this that could, you know, just bring you that much closer together. And it might be different, you know, moving forward from here.
Yeah, but everybody has been so supportive, and it means the world to me. Just, you know, you guys and management and just people from my past calling me and...
We just know what she meant to you.
Yeah, so it's just that makes it... makes things a little better.
Oh, I want to do a group hug so bad. I'm the Irish Catholic in me. All we do is touch each other. I mean, it could be just like 10 Schlegels sitting on the couch watching football, and we're just all sitting in each other's laps. Yeah, if you'd have let me last night, I'd have driven straight up 95 to Massachusetts to find you and put my arms around you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I thought about ordering a pizza and sending it to your place, but
why is your answer for everything effing pizza? Would you grow up?
It actually sounds
it's a good comfort food.
It's a great comfort food.
He probably wasn't in the mood to eat. Yeah, you can always eat though.
Probably wouldn't have eaten.
You would have eaten some of it, not as much as you would have on prior days.
Probably a couple slices,
maybe the crust.
Yeah, just the crust.
Well, just know moving forward. Look, we're here for you.
Oh,
and I know
you.
That sounds cliche and stupid, but I really want you to know that.
You're one of my only friends.
Because I don't want... that's not empty when it comes for me or Justin or Mike. Like, don't ever hesitate, because we'll do whatever. I'll bend over backwards for you. You've my whole career is riding your coattails.
You feed my kids.
That's ridiculous. Of course.
Feed my children.
Thank you very much.
Oh, man. Let's,
and the listeners, I mean, I can't even keep up with the text at this point. 410-338-1098. Thank you. And it's just, I don't know. I'm just babbling at this point because I'm not good at this.
Yeah. I'm coming around.
Go.
Yeah, let's do it. No, everyone.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah, I'm teetering as it is. I don't know if I can handle a hug right now.
Oh, it's okay.
It's time to feel.
The only reason I'm resisting is because I don't want to force it on them. You want a hug?
I'm fine for now. You know, your words are
I'm coming around.